I don't know if you read the stories over the last week or two, but some of our Olympians were being given a hard time for not singing the national. There were lots of reasons why they were being given a hard time, but some of our Olympians were being given a hard time for not singing the national anthem. The sports editor in The Australian wrote of two of our swimmers, one of whom, he said, appeared to have forgotten the words to Advance Australia Fair. He seemed to mumble the first few bars, but then gave it away. And the second, when the national anthem struck up, the words seemed to slip from his mind, if he had ever known them. He writes, Australian team chief Kitty Chiller has done much to build morale across the whole Australian team, and she has imposed high standards of behaviour for all our athletes. She would do well to hand out song sheets and singing lessons so that when an Australian collects a gold medal, the athlete and the millions of Australians watching can sing the anthem with pride. But why is a national anthem so important anyway? What do the words mean? Well, they express a desire that our nation would be great and glorious. In history's page, let every stage advance Australia fair. Or in the rarely sung second verse, we'll toil with hearts and hands to make this commonwealth of ours renowned of all the lands. A rarely sung second verse because for those who've come across the seas, we're boundless plains to share. It's a little embarrassing for our politicians to sing. But this section of the Lord's Prayer that we come to this evening is like the national anthem of God's kingdom. For more than we want our Olympians to win, more than we want our country to be great, as Christians we want God's kingdom to be great, and God's name to be seen as glorious by all. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are two questions for us to consider this evening as we reflect on God's kingdom. What is the kingdom of God, and how do I advance the kingdom? So the first of these, the foundational question, what is the kingdom of God? It's most basic level. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in the world. Ultimately, there are two kingdoms in the world, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And the basic question is this, whose will be done? And where God's will is done, we see the kingdom of light. Where Satan's will is done, we see the kingdom of darkness. The Catechism, I think, is helpful in the way that it approaches the question of God's kingdom in a very broad way. It doesn't narrow the kingdom down to just one place, for example, the church. It doesn't make that narrow identification. Rather, it shows us three areas in which God's kingdom is seen. God's kingdom is seen in us. Our acceptance of the lordship and the leadership of Jesus Christ. He reigns in our lives as our lives increasingly conform to the image of Christ. God's kingdom is seen in us. God's kingdom is seen in the church. Not only in the church, but it is seen in the church. As together we allow Christ to rule us. He reigns in our church as our church increasingly becomes the body that Christ intends her to be. As we work together, as we serve together, as we forgive together, as we encourage together, as we persevere together. God's kingdom is seen in us. God's kingdom is seen in the church. And God's kingdom is also seen in the world. In the destruction of the devil's work, of the kingdom of darkness, and every force revolting against God. Put the world right, Lord, this prayer is asking. Let righteousness and justice and fairness and equity be enjoyed by all. Put an end to slavery and abuse and war and famine and sickness. In these three ways we see the kingdom of God, his rule and reign in the world present, in us, in the church, and in the world. But you could also look at it from a different perspective. You could look at it from the perspective of time. We could ask this question, a question which the Gospels really anticipate, and some of our readings anticipated. When, we might ask, does the kingdom of God come? We've seen what the kingdom is. When does it come? And again, there are three ways. Did the kingdom come? Has it come? Will it come? Is it past? Is it present? Is it future? It's another one of those curious questions to which the biblical answer is yes to all three. The coming of God's kingdom is past. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom was near. This is what Jesus said. We read it before in one of the readings when he was casting out demons. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, and he did, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus is saying, in effect, the kingdom of God is now here, and that was in the past. It was then. I'm exercising power and rule and authority, dominion. And so we can look upon the coming of God's kingdom as something that happened in the past, during and through the ministry of Jesus. But the kingdom, the coming of God's kingdom is also present. Right now, God and the Lord Jesus are exercising kingdom rule in the hearts of those who love Jesus. The kingdom is theirs. Matthew 13, the parable that we didn't read of the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. You and I, if we place ourselves in the story, we sell everything that we might obtain the kingdom. When we believe, when we submit ourselves to the rule of God, when we serve Him as our Lord and Master, in that sense, the kingdom of God isn't something that happened then. The kingdom of God is something now, something in the present. But in addition to those two ways, both of which are true, is a third way, which is also true, a sense in which the coming of God's kingdom is also future. The kingdom will come. The kingdom will come when Jesus returns in glory to usher in the fullness of the kingdom He founded. As 1 Corinthians 15 puts it, the time will come when Jesus will have conquered everything opposed to the kingdom, when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of Christ, when God's will be the only will that ever happens, His will done on earth as it is in heaven. And so in these ways, we can understand what is meant by the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's seen in Christ's rule in us, in our lives, in the church, and in the world. It's something that has happened, something that is happening, something that will happen. And so we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that's the answer to the first question this evening, what is the kingdom of God? The second question is perhaps even more important, which is this: how do I advance the kingdom? Advance Australia Fair, and we can think of ways in which the esteem of our nation might be advanced. But how do I advance this other kingdom, this kingdom in me and the church and in the world, this kingdom that was and is to come? See, brothers and sisters, if we want to see the kingdom of God come, if we want to see the kingdom of God grow in the world, then this is a question that we are drawn to ask. We need to have it answered. How do I advance the kingdom? What does it mean for my life to want to see this happen? What does it mean for me? What's my contribution? And there are two things that we must do if we wish to serve the cause of Christ. We must pray and we must act. We must pray. Obviously, we must pray. This is a prayer for the coming of the kingdom. Your kingdom come. Please, God, do this. And yet that can be easy to forget. Some people and their enthusiasm to serve God forget to pray. They act as if God's kingdom is like the kingdoms of this world, like a business which, with the right marketing and public relations and media management, can't help but grow. Or like a political party where you advance and lobby for the things that you want to see happen. But the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It cannot be accomplished. It cannot come to realization and fullness in the lives of people, in the life of the church, in the extent of the world, without the work of the Holy Spirit, without the work of God. And so we must pray. We must be people of prayer, which is why I think it's just great that in our evening services we've been able to think about what prayer is and experience perhaps a greater depth to prayer. We must be people of prayer. Prayers that long earnestly for God to rule in the world. Prayers that long eagerly for God to revive and strengthen His rule in our own hearts and lives. Prayers that long for and anticipate God restoring the glory of His church, making His church glorious and good. Prayer is also important because it gives us an opportunity to rest in God as well. In prayer, we submit our wills to the will of our Father in heaven, just as our Lord Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but your will be done. We express in our prayers a humility, a willingness to learn, a willingness to submit to whatever God's will might be, and then we rest in God's control. We don't go to bed worrying about God's kingdom and what will happen to it. We are humble. We acknowledge God knows best, and He knows what our kingdom needs. This evening, we've already had an opportunity to do that, to pray together as a body, as a church. And after the sermon, we'll pray again. We'll pray for the coming of God's kingdom in a couple of different ways. But may our prayers tonight not be the only times we pray for the kingdom. And in that sense, prayer is not to be a program in the life of the church, but a way of life. And if you ever wonder about, should we have a prayer meeting? And yes, it would be a good thing, but at the same time, prayer is to be part of everything. And we can be torn between the two. Prayer is to be a way of life, not just a program in the church. Are you praying for God's kingdom to come? Are you praying for God to do what we cannot do? Are you praying that God would bless the things that we engage in as we seek to expand the rule of Christ, first of all in our own lives, secondly, in the church, and then also in the world in which God has placed us? How do I advance the kingdom of God? I must pray, and we can all pray. How do I advance the kingdom? We must pray, but we must also act. If there are some people who act without prayer, then there are others who pray but do not act. And this also is a mistake. I'm not talking this evening, you'll understand me. I'm not talking about people who are incapable of much in the way of action. Through various circumstances in our lives, through the providence of God, we might find ourselves confined to a hospital bed, as Nathan's nephews are right now. Or not only might we be physically tied to a bed, we could lose the ability to communicate with others. We could lose the gift of speech. We could lose our ability to move. Perhaps a stroke might take that away. In such a condition, we cannot do, but we can pray. So I'm not thinking of someone in that situation who is faithfully praying, who is faithfully knocking on the door of heaven, pleading with God that His kingdom might come in all its fullness. But there are other people who pray and do nothing. Perhaps that's because prayer seems the easier thing to do. We might pray and we might give ourselves the impression that we have done our bit. We have prayed for God to do something, and so we're just going to leave it in God's hands. It could sound a very humble sort of a thing to do. But genuine prayers for the kingdom of God to advance in the world must include a readiness to volunteer, not least because the advance of the kingdom is not just out there, it's internal as well, it's in our own hearts and lives. You say, well, I don't think I have it in me to go overseas like our missions team did. Well, Johnny thought that, but he did have it in him, and God gave him the strength. But you don't have to either. You see, what we want to be, what we want to cultivate is a spirit, a mindset in which we are kingdom-minded. When we're people who realize that we can serve God, we can work for the advancement of the kingdom of God wherever we are. We advance the kingdom. So we hunger for God's word and apply it in our lives. We advance God's kingdom when we build and strengthen and nurture and foster a Christian family. We advance God's kingdom when we develop relationships with people who don't know God. We advance God's kingdom when we use our work to advance the needs of others, to meet the needs of others. We advance God's kingdom when we are active in the church so that she might grow and be strengthened and healthier. We advance God's kingdom when we advocate for the rights of the weak and the voiceless and the marginalized. We advance God's kingdom when we put down roots in a certain place in order to develop long-term relationships and connections which God can powerfully use to cultivate evangelistic fruit. We advance God's kingdom when we are generous with the money and the gifts and the talents that God has given us. In short, we advance God's kingdom not through just through flashy, big, out there events and programs, but much more often and much more deeply through the faithfulness of the many small and ordinary things of life as a citizen of the kingdom. And if we would serve God and serve God faithfully, if you would desire to serve God more fully and in greater ways, and that desire to serve God in greater ways is not a desire that is misplaced or out of place. First, serve God in the small things, in the ordinary things of life. Show yourself worthy of God's trust. Show that you have a heart for His kingdom in your life, in your family, in your church, in the world. That's the sort of person God can use. So is that what you're doing? Or are you avoiding responsibility? You flit from one thing to the next thing. Or are you striving consciously to live for the Lord from day to day? Do you embrace the small things, the ordinary opportunities God gives you to serve Him? Opportunities to contribute to what God is doing in your life, in the life of His church, in the life of the world. To find out what God is doing and join Him. Join Him there. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let this prayer be our Christian anthem. That God's kingdom would be great, and God's greatness would be seen by all as glorious as it is. Amen. Let's pray.